Tom Gazzola, Lance Romance himself. I'm sure he's checking out frockbox.ca right now. Tommy, the Oilers, I do want to get into the 5-on-5 woes, specifically over the last 10 games. The Oilers have really been outscored 5-on-5. What have you seen as their biggest issue 5-on-5 lately?
I enjoyed listening to all of that. Thanks for having me on, Greg, and Strutty. Appreciate it. Shout out to Atchison and Kalmar, by the way. 5-on-5, Greg, it's been the McDavid-Draisaitl line that's you know, really pushed the pace for this team. And you look at the second line, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and James Neal's numbers 5-on-5, obviously not good enough. RNH with just the two goals. Neal has struggled 5-on-5. And then add to the fact that the bottom six, until more recently, it really didn't get anything going offensively. So I think, in turn, that's part of why we're seeing this lineup that's being projected tonight that Dave Tippett's supposed to roll out with McDavid and Cassian with Nygaard on the left side. Then you got Nugent Hopkins with Draisaitl, and then on the left side is Kara. And Jujarric Kara's been scoring and producing 5-on-5 in the last couple of weeks. So maybe he can give RNH, and Draisaitl could give RNH a shot in the arm when they're skating 5-on-5 as well. I don't know how the Neil Haas and Patrick Russell line is going to do, but I think with Shahan getting off the schneid last game, scoring a goal scorer's goal, and Archibald finally scoring, you know, a week and a little bit ago, and Granlund kind of waking up, that maybe that trio can actually start to produce as well. So I think this is all about balance for Dave Tippett and ultimately getting more 5-on-5 production.
Yeah, you know, I'm really interested in that line that you're not sure about. And I'm not sitting here going to tell you this is going to be an all-star lineup, but the Haas and Russell and Neal line, like, can they cobble together some chemistry? And I think that's what he's looking for here. He's kind of split some guys up that have had some success together and move guys around, move them down or up, not so much as a punishment or a reward, but just to get some different people going in a different way and trying to get some players to click together. And I look at this line, you know, Neal, he's not the fastest skater out there, but he understands how to get open. I think Russell's a worker bee who, you know, for some stretches this year, he's won a ton of puck battles. And then Haas has got some speed. And can those two guys retrieve pucks, get on that forecheck and try to get that puck back to Neal where Neal can find an open spot? And again, he has to work as well. I'm not suggesting he's set up like a shooter like Ovi, but can those three guys find some chemistry against what should be a little bit easier lines that they play against for Neal specifically? So I'm really intrigued. I don't know what the success rate will be, but I, you know, it's a line that I would not have thought of, but I have to admit, I actually like it here, Tiny Tom.
Strutty, my question when it comes to this line, I'm sorry, I had to laugh at that because you just snuck it in there. Okay, so Russell and Haas will likely be the guys forechecking and digging. Obviously, Haas can get to the puck quick. Russell, like you said, can win the battles. My question with this line is, can they get the puck to James Neal when he's available and open in shooting positions? Because I don't know if I don't have any questions whatsoever that they can forecheck and dig for pucks, but it's when they do get possession, will they be able to find a James Neal somewhere in the slot or at the side of the net where he can try to tuck one in? Or will that be the major disconnect for this line when they do get into the offensive zone? I get it, like, in theory, on paper, and given what these guys, this trio has been able to do individually and their rapports, they should be able to do that. But it's when it comes time to finally get the puck and find the open man, will they be able to do it? I'm curious too, Strutty, but that's my big question.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. I think that when for this line to have some success, I wouldn't expect some passes like a Backstrom or a Draisaitl coming to Neal. I envision a little bit closer support, so maybe a tighter, just for instance, just off the right side of the goaltender, I see maybe a bit of a cycle going on, and then those guys out working, and just, you know, by luck, and by hard work, someone losing their guy, and that guy might be Neil, and he pops out, and they get the puck to him, and he shoots. Like, I'm not talking like, you know, miraculous Harry Potter passing here. I'm talking just a hardworking line that knows where the guy that can shoot, but then it's a hardworking goals more so than anything.
And I totally get that. And here's the other thing I would float to you is, would this be a line too that, you know, if they do have a strong forecheck and they can win possession battles down low, can they get pucks to the back end and the point and get those point shots through and just simplify the offense? Because one knock on the Oilers last game and over the last little bit is they've been too cute. So maybe this is a line that, you know, get pucks to the point. And if any of those guys can get pucks through those three and Neil Haas and Russell, maybe crash the net and just bang home some garbage. That's something that we really haven't seen a lot of this year from this Oilers team.
No, not enough. Not enough at all. And I you know, just to back that up, I talked earlier about how I roll out the two top lines. And this is a line that if they can get some offensive zone time, I try to get a change mid-shift. And I need to put out Draisaitl or McDavid lines. I really don't care which one, but put them out there to get maybe some, not maybe, they would get some tired defenders. And then McDavid or Draisaitl's line come out and they can put the dagger in that guy, in the goalie and get that goal. So, you know, it's a very much, you know, it's hard to say this is what's going to happen, but as a coach, you go through these potential outcomes in your head, and maybe that's something we could see tonight. And, you know, God, I'd look like a genius if it did come to pass tonight.
Well, Strutty, you played the game, man, but and you know it. But the knock on this team is, too cute, simplify. And you know what? When Nygaard scored that goal the other night, I know it was at the tail end of a power play, but it came from just a simple get it on net, redirect, crash and chase the puck in front and see what happens. And I don't know. I feel like this team doesn't seem to do that and is reluctant to shoot when they get into the slot, which is bizarre considering how skilled some of these shooters are on this team.
Tom Gazzola joins us. Gazzola Chronicles brought to you by frockbox.ca. When you look tonight, Tom, at the Edmonton Oilers, and you know we've seen it, like Oscar Klefbom, last 10 games, minus 12. Draisaitl, minus 9. McDavid, like a lot of their best guys are the ones who are getting outscored 5-on-5, right? It's not the bottom guys. So
right.
I think Dave Tippett's splitting up McDavid and Draisaitl. He talked about it a little bit. He thought that they were a little too fancy and thought, hey, everything was just going to go good. Do you think this is a one-game message, or do you think he's going to try to keep them separated? Because not only to have them maybe be a little bit better 5-on-5, but also to try to see if Draisaitl can pull Nugent Hopkins out of his 5-on-5 funk, because he's only got 2 goals all season.
Ooh, message. I like that, Gregs. I don't know if, like, to me, Dave Tippett doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would play games with his players. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily what he would be doing. To me, he's the type of coach that's pretty upfront honest in what he's doing. And I think maybe he's more experimenting with what might be a better equation to produce, like to keep them playing better. But I don't see him as the type of coach that wants to send messages to these guys all the time and playing little mind games with them. So for me, it's just having these guys try to connect and see what you have. And again, throwing something at the wall, seeing if it works. A little bit of method to the madness in this combination that he's going to roll out tonight. But message wise, I don't know. I think more so for goaltenders, he likes to get messages across, like going back to Koskinen. Obviously, he wanted him to play better and bounce back the other night, and that happened. And then he goes to Mike Smith on Sunday. And that's, to me, that's him sending a message to Mike Smith saying, hey, we still trust you. And even though the other guy played 3 in a row, I'm still going to put you in. But now we're seeing Koskinen. That's where I see him sending messages to his goalies more so than his forward units. And if you want to look at messages, I think the one that Joel Pearson just got from Dave Tippett and Ken Holland being sent down. But with this forward unit and this combination he's going to roll out tonight, I don't think it's message, more so just trying to experiment with something and see if it works. And like you said, drag Ryan Nugent Hopkins out of the depths of some poor 5-on-5 play, and with Draisaitl, see if they can click a little bit here.
Caleb Jones said, talked about that, you know, he's been told to be a good defensive player, but he believes there's something more there that he can give this team as far as offense. Do you think that's there for Caleb Jones?
Yeah, and Struddy, that first nine-game segment he got with this team before he got sent down after the Vancouver game, it didn't seem to me like he was jumping up and contributing a ton. I thought he was just trying to play steady and have that, like, quiet game and maybe build some trust with the coaching staff and Jim Playfair and Dave Tippett, because really that was their first true taste of him at this level. I mean, he was up last year, but that was a different coaching staff, and he didn't have a good training camp, got sent down pretty quick. So to me, it feels like that was kind of like a feeling out process the first little bit, and we know he can skate. We know he's been able to put up numbers offensively in Bakersfield, and, you know, in theory, that should translate to the NHL level, but when you're holding yourself back, just trying to play steady and safe and not, you know, push the limits too much, then you're not going to get the results offensively. So maybe now, after he's had his feet wet through those first nine games and that first call-up, maybe he knows what kind of wiggle room he has. Add to the fact that I'm sure he's looking at this situation after only going down for a week and then getting called right back up, that okay, there seems to be some faith and trust in him as a player. And perhaps now that gives him an opportunity to maybe jump up a little bit more or pick and choose a few spots to make a risky play and hopefully more risk than reward. So I do think there's more offense there from Caleb Jones. And to me, it just seems like he is just trying to find the right time and place to do it as he continues to build trust and try really ultimately to be an everyday NHL player and not just an average one, but a good one.
Tommy, have a good one. Enjoy the pregame coming up in 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Thanks, boys.